welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, again, I am just so excited about being a part of the Heritage Sports Radio Network. I feel very blessed that they find value of what we are doing here in the garden, which is spotlighting women of color in leadership roles in athletics and sports business. And people, I have been so excited for the last, I think, about 2 days? Yeah, today's, no, well, 3 days. I've been speaking to the publisher of our brand new magazine that's coming out in March. And so all of our contributors have finished with their blogs, and we have 16 people, and I'm excited about sharing their specialized knowledge with you all. We're going to do a couple of Facebook Lives with them between now and March, but the cover is being done, and so I'm actually going back and forth right now with the publisher with that. So I am so excited. And, you know, when you're doing what you feel like you've been placed on the earth to do, it's not work, people. It's not work. And so be on the lookout for pre-orders, to do pre-orders. And what I'm offering is opportunity to subscribe. So we're going to do one in March and one in August, and we already got a couple of people already signed up for August. And you go like, what is the big deal? Hey, look, stop waiting for folks to come for you. Go ahead and put yourself out there already. Yes, put yourself out there already. The day of waiting, the gatekeepers are gone. And you can write your own piece about yourself. And, you know, okay, yes, I kind of stole this from the Players Tribune. You know, players tell things from their own point of view. Well, I'm not looking for necessarily your opinion on subjects. I'm looking for your expertise. Because let's be honest, with everybody being virtual, look at all of the panels popping up. I mean, there's panels. And, yes, I'm the watchdog to find out how many women of color on daggone panel. That's right. That's me. And, hey, I'm a sports information director at heart. So if I can promote a young person on a losing team to make all-conference and all-American, I can promote you in the same manner. That's really my whole mindset. Because it should be, when people are planning whatever they're planning, you should be the first to thought of whatever area that they're talking about. Now, I'm going to say something real generic, but you're going to get it. So if they're talking about, I'm going to say dog show, because I've always said I can promote anything, even a dog show. But I'm going to be a little bit more professional with it. Let's say that there's a storyline about dogs as a companion for stress. And we have a lot of people in the mental health space here. And that's what I really love. Because guess what? We're going to need more people that look like us to assist our student athletes in days like this. And whatever methods they use, I think it'd be very interesting for you to be able to be aware of them. And even if you don't use theirs, whatever resources your university use, you can sound very knowledgeable. Have we considered blank? Again, everything I do is a resource for you to elevate you at your institution or you in the marketplace. And I've always said this, and I'm not trying to be a predictor of anything in your future, but you really, really, really need to put a dot, dot, dot between your name and the university instead of just a comma, because you want to be known for your knowledge on its own and not that you just represent the institution. I've been saying that before the pandemic. I said that before I got my own pink slip, because that is what, and listen, we can't tell our student athletes that they're more than student athletes and we don't think that we're more than an administrator for blank university. I'm going to repeat that. We can't tell our student athletes that they're more than a student athlete, and we don't even see ourselves more than an administrator for a particular university. We are leaders. We are experts. Our intellectual property is a part of us. And what does that look like? It looks like how you solve the problem at a university. What steps did you take in your brain to get there? How did you persuade the university to do blank? What kind of program did you create to solve blank issue? That is a part of your intellectual property because it came out of your brain. You solved a problem out of your own brain. And guess what? You can duplicate that. And people want people who solve problems. People want people who think out the box. Do you think out the box? Do you think other people don't know about how you think out the box? Well, then come join me in my second issue coming out in August. For us, that's our fall because universities usually have the open convocation in August, so that's why I call it the fall. There's some people when I in our world, so that's the summer. No, summer's over. When you hit August, our summer is bye-bye, okay? And so come join me. Submit an article about your specialized knowledge. Really, it's just that simple. And if you're interested in this, just email me, MoniqueAJSmith@seasonofempowerment.info. Again, I tell you, I'm here to bring you resources. Jolene Robinson of Stepping to Win has taken her winning ways to the investment game, financial investor game. And beyond putting a dot between your name and university, I really believe in having more than one income stream. And yes, you can say you're already busy, and I get that. But some things that just come to you naturally, you know. And so this is really no work. And guess what? Whatever you learn becomes yours. And one of the best things I ever did learn was how to manage my money like I manage the budget at the university or conference office. When I started treating myself like a business, I mean, seriously, I had my own spreadsheet of the bills I was going to pay. I never went over the budget for work. But I sure did go over my personal budget. And honestly, when you get your money straight, that's freedom because you have choices. When you have choices, that's freedom. And some of you all, and I've said this for over 20 years, you stay at a job, that's a job, not a position, because you say you have bills. And so if you get a handle on that, you'll feel. See, it's all in how you look at a situation. You'll feel like you're in better control, and then you'll actually do a better job at your job because you'll feel like, oh, I love what I do, not that I have to do. So Joan Lee has another resource, and it's an interesting one because it's not the one that we usually, the CDs. And, hey, y'all, I'm listening to Barack Obama's audiobook. And I got the book. Thank you, Janice. Janice gave me the hard copy, so I'm doing both, too. But I'm in the part in the book where he talks about the 2008 financial crisis. And interesting enough, I had back surgery when that was happening. And I was watching Fox Business, watching Fox Business because they talk so plain I could understand what's going on. And so I wasn't surprised when the homeowner crisis just hit. And so I'm not saying get late. Well, you know, hey, the pandemic does give you some time to do something you never really didn't really dive into. But I was fully aware of that. Now, if I had not been had back surgery and been in the bed all day, I probably would not have. It probably would hit me blindsided too. So, but because of that, you never really hit me blindsided again when it comes to money. And this is why I think Jolie Robinson is the way to go, because you got somebody to actually talk to. I was just watching on TV. And so her and her crew have educational sessions every week. So just take a listen to what they're talking about. And interesting enough, you know, it's called FinTech, you know, financial technology and how money is working electronically. Because there'll be a day where you won't be able to go to the bank and touch money. Yeah, no doubt. I hate to tell you this, and then y'all are 50 and older than me, you're just going to have to catch up. Because one of my students asked me, what the child said, something about, can you scan it and send it to me? No, I got a check for you. When you come to the office, I'll give you the check. So, you know, the young folks are all for that. We all scared. We want to see it. I mean, my husband's still talking about, I want to see my pay stub. I said, dear, you're going to have to go online. So, knowing that the world is changing, you know, hey, we got a resource right here that's going to tell us about how to have another income stream going on while you sleep. Jolene Robinson, 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. Or you can email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. Again, that's stepping2win.com. Stepping2win.com, J Robinson. And again, another resource that I really endorse 1,000% is Surviving the Life, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. Again, I say often that don't just take my word for it. The NFL purchased the same book for the participants of last year's Celebration Bowl. All of the football players from the two participating schools received the book, and she did a presentation. And so, again, Surviving the Life, the Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse is available on Amazon, paperback, audio, and ebook. So don't miss out on this opportunity to learn something that you may not have known. And just interesting things, like I learn a lot about when the players get paid. You know, people get all excited. It's the same way, you know, when people that are in our industry, they'll repeat something. Oh yeah, they got a full 4-year ride. And those of us in the business know it's a year by year ride, and you got to show yourself approved in order to do that. And even if I think now you can sign multiple ones, but still, it's not guaranteed. And so understanding the other side is pretty unique. And she also it also has a peer piece to it, interviews from people who have had the horror stories and to share. And thirdly, there's even a script of how to let your family members or best friends down who want to be on your payroll. Well, they're probably being your payroll, but how that you don't manage my payroll, let's put it like that, because that's a sensitive issue about that. So, again, Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. And speaking of books, I am still, I need to get some books, but my chapter that appears in the book, Removing the Face, my chapter is called publicfiguremask.com, And actually, you know, I've enjoyed sharing the book, my chapter, with young people and those in the business. Because I'm going to tell you, this is not something I'm proud of. When folks are getting overwhelmed. That's what I talk about. Being the first can also be overwhelming if you're not sure of the triggers. And it helps me even to the day. I can tell when my thought processing is not its best, and it's definitely not your best when you don't feel well. Which if you don't realize that, like I couldn't find something. Like I went to DMV yesterday. I didn't have any of the proper info. I tore the house up trying to find the different things. I can't find it because I don't know who's listening. So, but you know, we females, we have issues sometimes, and so I'm like, okay, this is why I can't think straight. So, knowing that, now see, if I hadn't done a lot of self-awareness, because one of the things the Four Agreements says that always do your best, but it clearly says you will not do your best. You'll do your best is better when you're well. If you're not well, you won't do your best. So that knowledge base gave myself grace. And that's one of the things that I think from a mental health perspective is we need to embrace the word grace. Grace for ourselves and grace for other people. And I had a retreat a couple years ago, and the person said, what is grace? So let me tell you what grace is. Grace is, my bad, I give you a pass, I give you the benefit of doubt. And guess what? The person is not getting over because you gave them grace. Grace just allows you to have a different perspective and helps you move on and see things differently. Yeah, I had a client to share with me over text about a situation she was going through with a former employee. And she was like, I don't know if I want to use them as a reference. And I said, well, let's read over that again. And it appears that the person doesn't have an issue. It appears as if you have the issue because you're still bitter. And I said, you can't get to your better. Get over the bitter. And, you know, so these are things I went through and I can see and I can help. So if you don't necessarily want to work with me directly, get the book. The book covers my whole journey and some of the pitfalls that I faced and me hitting a wall literally and figuratively. And, these things happened almost 20 years ago. I was able to soar to new heights after which. And I do still think I'm still soaring in a different aspect. But I still have life happen to me, but because I am more self-aware, I can catch my triggers and not go down a hole that I can't get back up. Now, let's be clear. Our hole doesn't look like the normal population hole when we get stressed or burnout or depressed. It looks like we pile on more things. We add on more things to our life because we want to be so busy because we don't want to feel. It does mean that, yes, I would say go to the store and keep buying, but it means you just keep buying because the feeling of getting a new box on Amazon gives you that high. Yes, it's called Shopaholic. Again, check out my book. Go to publicfiguremask.com, publicfiguremask.com. And if you have already read the book and you would like to host a virtual book signing, because I have created an e-workbook to go with it to deep dive and to help others discover their triggers and what tools to use. So those are my announcements. I always feel like Johnny Carson when he's do his commentary before he sat down at his desk to invite his guests on. And so today I have opportunity to meet somebody for the first time. Well, to have a conversation for the first time, let's put it like that. And so you get a chance to listen to our chat. So I am excited about meeting and introducing to you Holly Major, the Academic Coordinator for University of Colorado Boulder. Welcome to the garden. Hi, Ms. Major.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you. Did you hear your cheers?
Perfect, I did. I got a little too excited. I was like, okay.
There we go. Well, I'm excited about meeting you. Can you tell me how we met, just in case that I missed it?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think most likely social media. I know the platform on Facebook and then maybe even Twitter. But just kind of knowing other people throughout the industry, and maybe we cross-reference with each other and started following each other. And then, so maybe that's how.
Well, are you a member of Women Leaders in College Sports?
Yes, I am.
Have you been to the convention?
No, I haven't. I went to the symposium maybe a couple years ago. So maybe,
okay.
I don't know if that's another area as well.
Well, usually it's a couple of things. Recommendations or someone who's been very active, in engagement, and that's probably exactly social media engagement. So I'm excited about meeting you virtually. And so let's let the crowd know, the listeners know, about your journey from college to now.
Perfect. Do you want me to go ahead and explain, or?
Yes, please.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, I come from a very athletic background. My parents played sports in college. My brother also played football in college, so I followed suit with that. So I did go to a Division II school in Texas at Texas A&M University at Commerce, and played volleyball there. And I guess my significance with where I am today and what kind of brought me into sports, other than, passion and having a athletic family, my freshman year of college, I did go through an ACL injury. My, preseason started the year. And so that kind of like shook up my whole plans as far as like wanting to be a star as a freshman, as I was the only freshman that was recruited as well. So a lot of pressure was on me. And then I go through this injury and it's just kind of like, wow, my first major injury. And then not shortly after that, a year later, I come back, rehab, recover, and I'm ready for sophomore year season, and I tear my other ACL. So, yeah, a lot of, uncertainties and trying to figure out my identity, and, I want to be able to walk, 30 years from now and not have to worry about having knee issues. So a lot of things were just placed on me trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do and how I would move forward. So with that being said, I decided to call it quits and just focus on, education while also trying to have some tie with athletics. So I finished my bachelor's degree and was like a student coach for the rest of my time there. And my mom always told me, she's like, you have a lot of qualities in yourself that, are similar to mine. And we love to help people and, do what we can to support and uplift people. So she always told me you'd be a great teacher or counselor. So I was like, okay, we'll see. So I followed suit and tried to go that route. Although in the back of my head, I was like, I love sports and I need something that I can do with sports. And so when I got to my master's at Baylor, and that was in sports ministry, which was something I've never heard about before, but being a big in my faith, I knew that would probably be something that's interesting and could help me flourish in life. So at Baylor, I was able to do a graduate assistant position within athletics as well. So, and that's where I got exposed more to what academic advising or academic coordinators do for student athletes. And it was like a little bit of everything, you know, you're mentoring, you're pretty much helping students find their passion and find what it is that they want to do in life. Or, and also, you know, maybe if they have a vision or dreams of being a professional athlete, but whatever it is, you're helping them make a path to become whatever it is that they want to become. So I fell in love with the position as far as an academic coordinator, and I worked super hard to get there. So I went from Baylor. I went to an internship at TCU, try to get some more information and get experience. And then from TCU, I also went to Penn State and worked with their football program and academics. And I felt like that's where I really felt like, you know, this is it. You know, I've got a lot of experience coming from these big, you know, schools and working hard to just get there. And here I am. I landed at University of Colorado as an academic coordinator for football and women's tennis. And I actually just started this position July, so this past summer. So it's been great, and I'm loving it so far and working with these student athletes.
So tell me from your journeys from the different schools, which one was an internship and which one was a full paid position?
Right. So it's funny. Actually, the one that I'm in now, so at Colorado, this is my first full-time paid position. So my Baylor, TCU, Penn State, all of those were internships, basically.
So you had three internships?
Yes.
After
yeah.
grad school or during grad school?
I would say Baylor was more of like a grad school, and then so pretty much two internships at TCU and then Penn State.
The reason I'm asking, because, you know, people always ask me, how do I get into the business? I just graduated, and, you know, I just graduated. I'm not taking another internship. And so to hear that you took three at the grad school, am I correct?
Yes, or two, yeah.
Okay,
two after
all right.
Grad
all right. And so did you get a grade for all of those, or was it just to get your foot in the door?
A part of it was that I wanted to get more experience. One internship, I would say, I was like a guinea pig. I was their first intern. So from there I was like, okay, at least I have, you know, some knowledge with, like, you know, working with staff and like what's best to do with your supervisor and like how you can, create, you know, your own way of doing an internship and how you want to, you know, leave your mark and move on so that the next intern has like something they can pick up and, you know, go from there. So I would say after my first internship, that's kind of how it left. And then I knew, I was like, you know, okay, it was a good experience, but I need something that's more concrete and something that can help me. And also just to network as well. I didn't want to do another internship, let alone leave my comfort zone being from Texas and like, moving all the way to Pennsylvania where I'd never been before. So it was a risk, and it was definitely a big step out of my comfort zone, but I knew it was going to help me regardless. I took that leap of faith and went on to Penn State, and it definitely helped me tremendously to get where I am today.
Well, how did you get the Penn State opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. Again, I would say connections and just – I mean, networking like crazy, meeting people. It's funny, the person that hired me at Penn State, she actually used to work at TCU. I was, you know, doing my work, trying to like prove myself to be great. And then word through the grapevine, and they were looking for an intern, and it just so happened they directly contacted me, and I was able to go up there and work with her.
Does she have a name?
Yes, Rosie Tarnowski.
Is who?
Rosie Tarnowski.
Blessing? Oh, okay, all right. So, yeah. Did you work with her at TCU?
No, she actually she left before I had got there. Maybe like probably a semester before I got to TCU, she had already left and moved to Penn State.
Wow. And what was her role at Penn State?
She was the assistant director for football as an academic advisor.
Wow. So I'm sure she asked the folks at at TCU, who can I get? yeah. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
My first assistant at the CIAA, I had never met her, but I watched her. And because she worked at a different institution, and I watched how she carried herself during conference tournaments. She didn't look like a regular student. She looked like an adult, and she wasn't following the crowd, and she was all about her business. So I called my mentor because I knew she was trained by the same person. I said, I want that girl. I need to find her, and I'm going to hire her today. And so,
right.
You know, that's how it works, people.
Yeah.
Wow.
So true.
So what was your role at Penn State?
I was an academic support assistant, so mostly working with freshmen. I had a few upperclassmen as well, helping them with their academic plans, setting them up with meeting with their on-campus advisors so we can get them in the right classes for their majors, and definitely co-taught the first-year experience class, so helped facilitate that, which was nice because I needed something that was different from, you know, my other previous institutions, and so being able to help teach a class for those freshman students was awesome. And then we also worked a lot with study hall, so we were night and day with those freshman guys in study hall, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, and hold them accountable and help support them throughout their first year.
So how long did you stay in that position?
I was there. So I got there August 2019 and left, I would say, July 2020. Yeah. So I was there for about a little, maybe less than a year.
Okay. So how did you get the job where you are now?
Yeah, so that, and I love to say it, but I worked hard and tremendously did it myself. And it's funny because at the time, this was when COVID was going on. And so I was a nervous wreck. I was like, I know, you know, I've been at Penn State for pretty much almost a year. And I knew by the spring semester, I was going to be applying for jobs. I was talking to my supervisor and just letting her know that, you know, I was ready to go full time. I wanted something closer to Texas if possible. And then COVID hits, and I'm just like, I would hate to have to, you know, wait and do another internship with them. Not to say that I didn't want to, but I was thinking about that and just, you know, financial stuff and just trying to figure out what would be, you know, best for me to survive and do what I've got to do. I was like, man, that's not something I wanted to do. So I was waiting patiently for jobs to post, and some were surely posting, but, you know, then you get, you know, first round of interviews, and then they're like, oh, we are putting the job on hold, and so we're not continuing. So it was a lot of that and just a lot of patience. But I think just also connecting with people that I've had connections with within the N4A and other, you know, organizations, and just trying to tell people what it is I was looking for. And then once Colorado, they posted their position, I was like, you know, I've never been to Colorado. At this point, I'm just applying for anything I feel comfortable or anywhere I feel like, you know, matches my core values and where I want to be. And it so happened that Colorado was actually really looking for somebody to come in and fill that position. And I just prepared myself to get ready for these interviews and just do well, kept talking with people to have them help me because I was, you know, hadn't had a really many interviews because of COVID and all that stuff. So just really did everything I could to make it happen.
And, you know, Everything that you're saying that you did is what I've been telling folks to do. And we and in, many people come to me when they're looking for their first job in athletics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I say, you know, you got to go get the experience. What do you mm-hmm. think that impressed them the most about you to give you that opportunity?
I think it was more of, well, one, for sure, relatability. So being able to share, you know, a piece of my story and why I wanted to work there, and then mm-hmm. also what I could implement and what I could bring to the table that could help their program and their student-athletes to flourish. And I think with being in so many internships and having a lot of experience, just to kind of create your own path of what you want to do and what you pretty much like a toolbox. So from my internships, I was able to excel and like tell them exactly how I succeeded and what I implemented during my internships or yeah. some information that I took away from those internships and what I could create or implement to help student athletes here at their institution. And I think that just opened the door tremendously for me, because if you can go in and like confidently explain why you're fit for the job and what you can do, something that they've probably never heard before and something that they feel like is legit and something that you know for sure that you can do, I think anybody is willing to say, you know what, this person knows and they're confident about it and they've had the experience, you know, so why not bring them on and have them help us, you know, in the areas that we're looking for, or help us, you know, with our student athletes, or even be a good representation if there's a lack in representation, how they can, you know, come in and fill those areas where it's needed the most.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. I'm getting ready to go to commercial, but I want you to tell me a little bit about how do you build your confidence. I see that is so lacking. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, when I bring experts into the Advanced Academy and I say to tell the participants to introduce themselves,
mm-hmm.
they don't seem to be able to do that well. So talk mm-hmm. to me about confidence.
Yeah, and with confidence, I would say, I mean, it's anything, everything I'm saying right now probably sounds like, you know, I've been confident throughout the whole time, but there's been times where I had to really get to know myself a little better before I could tell people, you know, mm-hmm. what it is that I'm capable of doing and how. So for me, I was building my confidence throughout the time just by really getting to know myself, knowing my weaknesses and knowing, being okay with my weaknesses and confessing up about my weaknesses and wanting help in those areas. As far as like speaking up or like talking in front of large crowds or anything like that, I knew those were areas that I struggled in and I wanted to get better in. So being able to know exactly what it is that, not necessarily that you lack, but something that you want to improve on or get experience in, I think that's a good start to building your confidence, because when you can name what it is that you're wanting to do or what it is that you're wanting to improve on, then that already tells you, like, you already know what could help you to make a step further to becoming more confident or to become more, you know, whatever it is that you're wanting to accomplish or wherever you're wanting to go. That's going to help you to kind of lay out the pathway so that way you're taking a step towards what it is that you're aiming for. But I think for me, it was just knowing, you know, what do I want to do and how do I want to do it and what areas do I need to improve on, and finding resources and people that can help you in those areas. And then you'll start to notice that, you know, I'm repeating myself when I talk with people about my experience, and that's helping me to know how to pretty much tell my story, or that's helping me to know how I can you know, tell people why I'm fit for the job, because I have, you know, I went through this and this is why I think I can do this at your institution or your organization. So I think it's just knowing where you want to go, knowing what it is that you need to improve on or something that you're wanting to learn more about, and finding resources and people that can help you. Because, you know, meeting with people, talking with people, they're going to boost your confidence and tell you, hopefully they will tell you exactly not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear and what's going to help you to get in those areas where you can flourish.
Outstanding. We're going to take a short break here in the Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And when we return, we continue chatting with Hallie Major, and we have a couple of questions for her.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden, where significance blooms in athletics and sports business. All right, I got some questions for you, Hallie.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Sydney Mormon, Student Athlete Development Coordinator at University of Washington. She says, hi. She would like to know, how do you keep your students motivated during this time? And how do you handle your position as a millennial leader?
That's a great question. Well, hey, Sydney. I know we've crossed paths many times, and so I'm glad I'll get a question from her. So first, motivation for student athletes. I know this has definitely been a crazy year in general, and starting a new position has also been crazy in the midst of, you know, a global pandemic and racial injustice and everything that's going on. It's difficult, and it has been a little challenging as far as motivating students, but I think you have to reflect on, like, yourself and how you can show them that what you're doing for yourself during these difficult times. So for me, I'm always just telling students, you know, it's one day at a time, and to control what you can control, because there's so many things right now that we have no control over, you know, especially with the pandemic and seasons getting canceled or just things that are out of our control. So I tell students all the time, just focus on the now and what you can do in the now, and the rest will take care of itself. And I know that's so cliche, but at the same time, I think it's something that we have to keep continuing to tell our students who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. But if we focus on the now, then we can be prepared for whatever, you know, tomorrow brings. So motivating them as far as always meeting with them and helping them to understand, you know, what do you want to do in this time, and what are you struggling with right now? How can I help you? What do you want to be known for? What do you want to come out of this year feeling a lot better in areas? What is it that you want to do? And helping them find those resources to help them. Some want to, you know, make their voice heard and just be use their platform for other reasons. And maybe that's something that you can motivate them to do in that time where they're at right now. So again, focusing on the now and what we can do in it, and just continue to motivate them with whatever interests them, and you know, how they want to be known. And and then the second part, did you say, was for myself, you know, working as a millennial? Was that the question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question as well. I mean, it's just being who you are. I'm not the type of person that's going to conform and change who I am. So I think that's always one thing that you definitely have to be mindful of when you start a position. And you may be the youngest person there, or you may not. But just being who you are should reflect and show, you know, your capabilities of your work ethic and your core values. And I think in that space, you have to be comfortable and, again, confident in who you are, and show them what you're capable of doing, and communicate always, not just communicate with certain people, but communicate with everyone. So that way people understand who you are, and they can tell that you have that passion, or you have that confidence to be in a space where you want to make a difference. So I think it's just being who you are and communicating with everyone and helping them to realize that you're not just here for certain reasons. You're not just here just to, you know, work with student athletes, but you want to impact and empower them and how you can do so at the middle stage that you're in.
Outstanding, outstanding. I do a workshop called We Got Now, not the We Got Next. I got next crossed out. And, you know, when you think about what can you do right now, that becomes, right, again, freedom and choices. It's like a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And
right,
when you embrace the growth part, that's what you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll feel better.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So Janelle White of IUPUI, what suggestions do you have to keep the students focused on academics amidst so much uncertainty?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question as well. To keep them focused, I think, you know, sometimes you come off as a person that, you know, they don't want to deal with because it's only academics. And for me, I would say this semester specifically, I mean, starting a new job and trying to learn how they do things and wanting at the same time to implement some strategies and things that can help students with everything that's going on was a challenge. But throwing out ideas, just, you know, have people thinking and maybe see if it will work for their students. I think instead of just focusing on academics, as important as it is to do so, I think you should also find what it is that students are needing outside of academics. So, or if they need something as far as like a mental break. So maybe doing like a quick little interactive Zoom game with them, or just to get them not just thinking that you're only concerned or worried about their academics and nothing else. So I think it's good to connect with them on a different level and get to know them personally. Find what it is that will help them. Because once you have that person, that whole person, then you can pretty much do whatever. You can help them think, you know, yeah, you're in this class because you said you want to be, you want to get better with your speech and talking with people. So we're in this class. How can we really use this class to help you flourish in that areas that you're wanting to get better in? So it's almost like channeling what it is that they are wanting and what they what their dreams are and what they're pursuing, and then using the academic piece to show them how it's going to help them. Even if, like right now, if they're not in classes that are going towards anything that's dealing with, you know, their career interest or, you know, future goals or, you know, NFL or NBA, whatever it is, still using that time to get to know them and not just making it seem like you're just checking in on academics and that's all you're concerned about, but just get to know them as a person. And then I feel like you should be able to find ways that you can be creative to help them focus on their academics, but also focus on the ultimate goal that they're wanting for themselves.
That's a really good one. The staff retreat that I did at Delaware State, I launched this new activity called the Newly Committed Game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Newlywed Game?
No, I haven't heard of that.
You never heard of the Newlywed Game?
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. So it's so funny because most young people have never. But Sherry Shepherd is now the host. But it was out when I was a little girl, and it was started out with a black and white TV show. And what happens is, like, couples who are newlywed come out, and you know, they all celebrate it. But then they send let's say the wives back, and then they ask the husbands questions about the wife, and they put it on a big poster board. And then when they come back, the wife comes, we asked your husband which side of bed do you like the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she'll give the answer. And then the husband will lift up the poster board. And, yay, they get points if they're both the same. So as a coach and a player, it's something very similar. Mm-hmm. When they know that you know them for more than what they do for you on the field,
right?
Then you got something there. You know, you got mm-hmm. a relationship. And,
right.
And so I did it with Delaware State. And they loved it. They loved it. Because, again, with the portal, and this is what Delaware State had requested. They asked, mm-hmm. how do we deal with the new millennial student athlete?
Right.
And since I teach psychosociology of sport and I had football players and other
mm-hmm.
athletes in my class,
mm-hmm.
and almost all of them said, we need something with chemistry or, you know, the coach. And,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, and we talked about the TV show All American. And we talked
yes.
about the TV show Last Chance U.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
yeah, we used those in class and to discuss, you know, what could be done differently. So I actually, because I'm preparing them for internships and GA positions, what kind of activity could you implement from a student athlete development piece? And listen to them. Definitely they didn't come up with the Newlywed Game because they're just like you, they ain't never heard of it. But for me to teach the coaches and administration what needs to happen, that's how they came about. So,
mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. You know, doing some type of game. And so for the kid, I didn't call it. I told him what it was, but the question
mm-hmm.
was, "Coach gets me if."
Mm,
you gotta
that's
use that
cool.
terminology. Yeah, coach
yeah,
gets me if.
Cool.
Thank you, coach gets me if. And so, and then you know I use it. So, hopefully those people were listening. Well, call me so I can come do this game for you, and maybe I can come to Colorado
yeah.
and do it for you.
Yes, that would be great.
Yes, yes. Can't you tell I just love what I do? Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah,
but
sure. I see it.
got 5 minutes, and you kind of answered the question I was going to ask about mental health, and you said these are mental health breaks. And so so you kind of answered that question. Is anyone, anything else you would like to share? Again, we got 5 minutes. I just want to say I am hey, you got a fan over here in Hampton, Virginia.
Yes, that's awesome. It's been great as well. I do want to mention one thing you said earlier on the call. You said when you're doing what you've been placed on earth to do, it's going to work. And I just wanted to highlight that and just say that's such a good a plug just to remember, because again, looking back on everything that I've been through and where I am today, it's just like it blows my mind, because again, I was that freshman that had no idea what I wanted to do, and going through two major ACL injuries, of course, that's going to add more confusion and like identity, you know, trying to figure out who I am, what I'm going to do in this life, and what's my purpose. So for anybody that's listening, or whether if you're older, younger, if you're a student, if you're an athlete, whoever, wherever you are right now, I think it's definitely good to just, if you don't know the answer as far as what it is you're here to do on earth yet, that's okay, because I know we've all been there, and maybe we're all still trying to figure out, you know, yes, I'm that professional athlete now. Now what? Or I'm that student athlete at the Division I school. Now what? So I think we all get to that point where we're just like, okay, we're here, but now what? What's my purpose? And that's okay, because we're all going to go through that. But I think it's good to just continue talking with people, continue to get to know yourself and areas that you want to grow in or what you want to learn about. And I think that's going to continue to answer those questions that you may have about what am I here to do on this earth, and how is that going to work? What is that going to look like? So I just wanted to highlight the fact that you did mention, you know, whatever you're here to do on earth, it's going to work. And you just have to be patient, be confident, and be willing to learn and grow in those areas. And you'll see it'll work. It'll all come to fruition.
Thank you so much, Holly. And I want to thank my engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions, for being our engineer and being my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on showcasts and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.